But the foundation, the thing to hold in your head as you read the rest, is the question I started with. What counts as money? The system gives you one answer. History gives you another. Choose carefully. Chapter 2, The Fiat Illusion. Why public choice theory predicts central bank failure. The wrong question. Most personal finance writers, when they finally get around to monetary risk, ask the wrong question, will the dollar fail? That question has been asked in print at least once a decade since 1933, and answering it requires either prophecy or charlatanism. I will not attempt either. The question worth asking, the one this chapter actually answers, is structural. How does a fiat currency systematically lose purchasing power against real money over decades? And why do the institutions that manage fiat currencies produce that loss regardless of who happens to chair them in any given administration? The will question imagines a dramatic event, a currency crisis, a collapse, a hyperinflation. Those happen, and we should attend to them. But the more reliable wealth eroding mechanism is not the crisis. It is the routine. It is what central banks do on a Tuesday when nothing in particular is happening. To see the routine clearly is to see the trajectory. To see the trajectory is to allocate around it. That is the practical content of this chapter. To get there, we need three pieces: a public choice framework for what central banks actually are, a base rate argument for what fiat currencies actually do over historical time, and a small set of structural signals you can read yourself with AI assistance to track central bank trajectory in your own time. The Buchanan-Tullett framework, a three-sentence proof. In 1962, James Buchanan and Gordon Tullett published The Calculus of Consent, 1962, a book that, more than any other single text in 20th century political economy, supplies the analytical scaffolding for understanding what democratic states do as opposed to what they claim to do. Buchanan won the Nobel for the work in 1986. The Calculus is not a difficult book. It is shorter than most personal finance bestsellers, and a careful reading of its first 100 pages will protect a thoughtful reader from a generation of bad financial commentary. The core insight, distilled to three sentences, public agencies, including central banks, are staffed by individuals whose interests are not identical to the interests of the public on whose behalf they ostensibly act. Those individuals operate under information asymmetries. The public cannot easily resolve. They know more about their own decisions, the data driving those decisions, and the trade-offs being made than any voter or saver does. Over time, the asymmetry plus the divergent incentives produce systematic drift, not in the direction the public would choose, but in the direction the agency's principals, the staff, their political superiors, their regulatory clients prefer. That is the agency problem in its public choice form. It is not cynicism, it is mechanism. It does not require any individual at a central bank to be venal, ideological, or stupid. Even staffed by saints, the institution will, on average, and over decades, drift in the directions its principal agent structure rewards. The directions it rewards are monetary expansion when expansion is politically convenient, monetary tightening only when expansion has visibly failed, balance sheet growth as the default, balance sheet contraction as an emergency, regulatory expansion of its own authority, and rhetorical complexity sufficient to make outside auditing costly. If you are an Austrian economist by training, none of this is news. Mises argued in The Theory of Money and Credit, 1912, and again in Human Action, 1949-1996, that the separation of money creation from market price discovery is what makes inflation possible, and that political control over money is what makes inflation systematic. Hayek developed the case...